Romans chapter 5, tonight I'll be back there where I was this morning. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to recap just a little bit. And stand with me, please. Let me read a few verses here. Verse 1, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let me lead off reading there. I'm going to pick up where I left off this morning. Is that ringing? Excuse me a minute here. That sound man again. I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of faith, part two, I guess. The benefits of faith. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word tonight, that you'd speak to all of our hearts, that you'd keep us awake, help us to pay attention. God, we need your Holy Spirit to fill us, give us understanding, lead us and guide us into all truth tonight. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good day you've given us already. And Lord, thank you for the growth that you are accomplishing here in this church and in each one of our hearts. Now, Lord, tonight, please have your will and way. I do pray, Lord God, as I'm thinking about our brother Benny, I pray, Lord, for him. I know that we all miss him. I pray, God, you'd give him a good day there and that you'd fill him with your power and bring him back to us safely, Lord, next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, benefits of faith. Let me recap quickly what I was saying this morning. By faith in verse 1, we are justified by faith in God, by faith placed on the Word of God, on His promises. We have justification. We are declared righteous. We are declared innocent. God has given us His righteousness. We are not innocent. We are certainly always guilty of breaking God's law. We're all sinners, but we're declared righteous. We're justified in the eyes of God. Look in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified, notice, by His blood. The payment for our justification was the blood of Christ. Are you listening to me tonight? The payment, someone had to pay our debt. Someone had to pay our debt in order for us to be justified before God. So Jesus came, and by His blood, we are now justified. Glory to God. Now, every single soul alive can be justified, but it takes them personally placing their faith on God. Notice, again, let me show you what I'm talking about in chapter 4, verse 24, right before this chapter, the last two verses of that chapter. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, the righteousness of God, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So believing on Him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead? It was God. Amen. It was the power of God. And if we believe on Him, that's what saving faith is all about. Believing on God, because we're placing our faith on His promises. He promised to save me. He promised to keep me saved. He promised to take me to heaven. He promised to justify me. And it's for anybody and whosoever will can be saved by that same power, but they have to place their faith on Him. So benefits of that faith, number one, we're justified by His blood. We're justified by faith. Number two, we have peace with God. Again, we have, in verse 1 of chapter 5, we have peace with God. We have, in other words, the sin no longer condemns us because we're justified. We're still guilty of sinning, but we have peace with God because we know our debt's been paid. Amen? We know our debt has been paid. So we were enemies. Look in verse 10. I read this to you this morning, and I'm hurrying because this is just recapping, really. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, His resurrection. See, the death of Jesus Christ reconciled us because it paid our debt. But then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gave us everlasting life. Because if He would have stayed dead, then we would still be dead. Now, our debt should have been paid, but we could not have everlasting life because God would, that would, if Jesus was still dead, that would mean that sin killed Him and He could not overcome the power. But when God raised him from the dead, God proved to you and to me that all of sin and all of hell and all of the devil's power were nothing compared to the power of our God. And so when he raised him from the dead, he gave us life with the same power when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, on God's promises. We have peace with God. We're justified. We also have access. Look in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access into the grace of God. We have an enter. Now, we're saved through that, by that grace, through faith. But that grace, I told you, I preached last week, God giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. And he giveth more grace. And don't dare we not ever tire of hearing about the grace of God. I mean, after all, this is the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Because without the grace of God, we can never be saved. But without the grace of God, we can never stand either. We can never stand against the things and the evil of this world. So that grace be by faith, placing on God's word and his promises, I have access. It's as if God opened the door to his, literally he did, throne room of grace. I have access. I can go to God in prayer now. I can go to God in when I need more grace. I can go to God because I have access into that room of grace. Because of my faith in God and on his promises. Now, I also have rejoicing. Notice in verse 2 also at the end, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I rejoice in the hope that I'm going to heaven one day. Because of my faith, not because I worked or earned or bought or paid or deserved, but because of my faith on God and his promises, I rejoice that no matter what comes my way, I know that the blessed hope is one day I will be in the very presence of God. I have access to his grace now, but one day I'm just going to be in his presence. In the glorious presence of God forever. And that's only because of the faith that I placed in his promises, in God's word. Now, justified, peace with God, access to his grace, and one day knowing I'm going to be in the very glory, the presence and power of God in heaven. Those are pretty good benefits. Amen. If you were looking for a job and they offered you those benefits, well, glory to God, I'm taking this job, amen. But no job can give you those benefits. Matter of fact, there's fewer and fewer jobs that offer any benefits nowadays. But anyway, the benefits that God gives us through faith in Jesus Christ are tremendous. But I want to spend a few minutes tonight on this second half of the message to talk about the last benefit that I see here in these few verses in the chapter 5. The last one that I'm going to talk about and spend all the whole message on one, this last one, but we'll break it down a little bit. The last one is not nearly as exciting, and it's a whole lot more intriguing, if you will, but it's what we desperately need as much as all of the others. Because let me tell you this. Yes, we're justified. Nobody can take that away. And yes, we have peace with God. In other words, we're no longer at enmity with God. We're no longer against, he's no longer against us. But as a Christian, I know as well as you do that I don't always have the peace of God in my heart. I don't turn to the scripture for sake of time, but Philippians chapter 3 says to let the peace of God should rule in your hearts and your minds by Christ Jesus. The peace of God ruling in your heart is the peace of God, not the peace with God. I always have peace with God, but do you really ever always have peace of God ruling in your heart? It's like a referee, amen. He's in control of that game. He's ruling, and he's the one in charge. The ruling in your heart, God says, let it be the peace of God. Let the peace of God control your day, control your decisions, control your... But the thing is, does it really... It's not always there. It's peace with God, but the peace of God is not always there. And I also think, and look, it says in the access into the grace, we don't always how can I say this? That grace helps us to stand, but many times we fall. Oh, we sure teeter on falling. There's another benefit, and lastly, of course, I'm thinking about. I'm going to get to the point here, but the reason God puts this last benefit in here is because we don't always have the peace of God ruling in our heart. We don't always have a rejoicing in the hope of heaven. I mean, there are days that go by that you know as well as I do that you don't think about the blessed hope of heaven. You're just wrapped up in life. You don't have the peace. Many times you can't seem to find the grace to stand. And God gives us some insight into in verses 3 through 5. Not only so, in other words, not just justification, not just peace with God, not just the access to grace, not just the rejoicing in the hope of glory, but we glory, in verse 3, in tribulations also. What this literally means, church, is that we glory, we rejoice in troubles and trials. Really? Now, this is an important benefit to being a child of God, because we have the opportunity. Seth, look up here, okay? Quit turning around. We have the opportunity to rejoice in tribulations. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Rejoicing in tribulation. That's a benefit that we have as Christians. That, again, the world doesn't have any of these benefits. They don't have any. They don't rejoice in the hope of heaven. They don't even know if they're going to heaven. They don't have the peace with God. They don't have the peace of God. They're not justified. They don't have any access to grace of God. They're just on their own. But we, as Christians, have all of those things, and that's wonderful, but we also have something that we need to think about, and I'm going to try to break apart for us tonight and help us understand that this is a very big benefit that, as Christians, we also have, that we can glory. We can rejoice in tribulations. In tribulations. That we can actually, when we have a hard, troublesome day or season in life, we can say, "Thank you, Lord." But not just because we're trying to get through it, but mean it. But mean it. And I'm going to show you why, preacher, how is that a benefit? How can I rejoice in troubles and trials? Is that how we look at our troubles? With rejoicing? Now, I'm telling you what. Every one of us needs to be honest tonight and realize that we often don't rejoice when we fall on hard times. We don't have when we think about heaven, we shout and praise God and amen. I'm going to be in the very presence of God on the streets of gold. My mansion, there it is. It's going to have everything you wanted and everything you could dream of and more. But here comes a bump in the road. Here comes a big hurdle, a big mountain before I ever get to heaven. Do we rejoice about that as much as we do heaven? Well, no, preacher, but the fact is God wants us to get to that point where we do, because we can. Because we can. So I'm going to spend some time looking at the steps leading to the last benefit, the steps leading to where we're rejoicing, we're glorying in tribulations. I call these steps tonight the ladder to God's love. The ladder to the love of God. And look in verse 5. Oh, let's read 3, 4, and 5 again. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Who is that us? That us is us Christians. The world doesn't have the Holy Ghost. The world does not have any of these benefits. These are benefits of us placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to verse 5 then, look. the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, according to verse 5, that in our tribulations, in our troubles, in our trials, God wants us to bring us to the point where we are no longer ashamed. Here's what happened. Listen, when we get in hard times and troubles, we stop witnessing. We stop inviting people to church. We stop being a testimony for other people. We begin to feel a little bit unsure of ourselves because, well, God, then, if all of that's true, why is this happening to me? So we get almost a little bit ashamed. Well, I know that they need to, but I'm not real sure anymore because this tribulation that I'm going, this trouble, this problem that I'm in the middle of. So I'm burning. I know I'm supposed to be. I know the Bible tells me to be a witness, but I'm not exactly on fire anymore. I'm actually a little bit ashamed. I can't go tell people with confidence, hey, you can trust God, the salvation, the saving grace of God, and God will save you. And then this, the world says, yeah, no heaven, no more problems. And that's a bunch of garbage. That's a lie. And so when the world, when people hear that, and then they see a Christian going through loss of a loved one, financial distress, just loss of a job or health. I mean, there's all kinds of tribulations in this life that we don't just get to escape. But what happens is God wants to bring us to a point that we're no longer ashamed of Christ, regardless of what's going on in our life. Because He wants us to bring us to the place where we're filled with God's love. Look, it says there, that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we're filled, notice, by the Holy Ghost. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? It means to be filled with the love of God. Amen. Filled with the love of God. Listen to me. That's the best, that's where God wants us to stay. That's where God wants us to stay. Filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God's love, not ashamed of Jesus. That's where we should stay as Christians. That's where God wants us to be. That's the glorious benefit of salvation that only we have. But listen, it doesn't just happen. You may be excited when you first get saved, and that's normal. You may be excited when you finally find that wonderful church.
Amen.
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 Amen. Y'all, we're rejoicing tonight, okay? But there's a ladder to climb before we get to that love. And it starts with, number one, it starts with problems. Now, I want you to understand something. Problems are very often dreaded and avoided at all costs, and that's normal. But you're not going to avoid them all. You're going to get sick. You're going to have financial problems. Can I tell you something? Here's what you need to, right off the bat, first step. The problem comes, thank God for it because it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. When we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Nobody ever says, I thank God for my problems. Nobody ever says that. We just don't count those as blessings. But I'm trying to help us, all of us, including me, to understand that when problems come, God is trying to get us to climb this ladder. Because this ladder at the top has the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God's love, where I'm no longer ashamed of Christ. You know what? I read a statistic, oh, I can't remember how long ago. I read books, and I can't remember where I read it. And what. I've got books here in the office. I've got books at home. I've got books in my prayer closet. And Ms. Falk says, how can you read so many books at the same time? I said, I don't. I read one, part of it, put it down, I read another one, and I read another one. So I don't know where. I read this somewhere. Who knows where or when. But 80% of Christians, 80% of Christians have never once witnessed to anybody, told anybody about Jesus. 80% of Christians. Now, they may be afraid or whatever the fact is, but God says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them about the Savior. How shall they hear except we tell them? But here's the thing. Who's the last person you told? Don't answer the question. But you had opportunity yesterday, day before, Thursday, Wednesday, today. You had opportunity, but you were either afraid or, quite frankly, you were a little bit ashamed because you didn't want to seem like you were a fanatic. So God says, I don't want them to stay where they're ashamed. I want them to fill with my love. So God says, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a problem. Oh, thanks, God. No, it should be, thank you, Lord. That's what the scripture is trying to say here, first of all. That the problems come, there's the first step in the ladder to God's love. Are you listening? Don't lose me now. I know this is not exciting, but you'll never know, listen now, you'll never know what God can do if you don't ever have any real needs. If you never had any problems, how could you ever know that God's grace is real? If you never had any problems, how could you ever know that God's strength is real? If you never had any problems, how could you ever know that God really does answer prayer? If you never had any needs, how do you know that God will supply all your needs if you don't have any? So a gift from God is, here's a problem. I'm going to use this in your life as the first step in the ladder to my love. Is a problem. Some of the most common problems, you know, there's all kinds of financial problems are very common. Relationship problems, very common. Health problems, very common. And the list goes on. But the first step in this ladder is a problem. It's a gift from God to get you climbing the ladder. You know, ladders get you somewhere that you can't get without a ladder. Yes, up. Ladders can also go down, but ladders get you somewhere that you cannot get otherwise. Isn't that a good thought? So you can't get to where God wants you to be except you climb this ladder sometimes. And I'm telling you, it's a gift from God. Look at the problem as a gift from God because God's working in your life. Number two, some of you aren't excited yet, I know. But the top of the ladder is a good place to be. I'm trying to get you to see. But it takes, number one, a problem to start off. Then number two, oh boy, patience. Look in verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, the first step, worketh the second step, patience. A problem comes, what God wants me to do, and the medicine that God gives me for that problem is patience. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Patience, a patient Christian is a faithful Christian. You look at me and you see the preacher. You see the pastor, you see Brother Fogg, whatever, and you say, well, he's the preacher, and you just expect me to be here preaching for you every service. And praise God, I want to be, and thank God I am for the most part. But the fact is, you just expect that out of me because I'm the preacher. But what you don't understand is I'm also just a sinner saved by the same grace that you are. But God calls men out of his sheepfold to be preachers and missionaries and pastors. And what does the one characteristic the Bible says that God looks for in that person? Faithfulness. I'm not a preacher because I don't have any problems. I'm not a preacher because I never have any trials. I'm not a preacher because everything's perfect in my life. I'm a preacher because God is teaching me and I'm trying to learn to be patient in those problems and understand that I'm just going to stay right here with God. Faithfulness is nothing more than being patient in your problem. People don't quit on God when everything's great. People don't quit on God when everything's rosy. People quit on God when the problems come. Because the patience that God's trying to give you is the last thing that you want. So you hightail it, whoever, wherever you think you're going to find the answer. But the answer is patience. The medicine is patience for your problem. A faithful Christian, a one who's been faithful to God in church year after year, sitting there teaching that class, running that bus, winning souls, it's not because they have no problems. It's because they've learned to wait on God. Faithful through the storms, standing still to see the salvation of God. Standing still. When Moses was there at the Red Sea, and the water, they could not cross the water, and Pharaoh's army was coming on their heels, and the children of Israel are whining and complaining and griping and moaning, Moses, why did you take us back? Moses, why did you do this? And they're griping, and they're belly aching. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. Stop throwing your fits. Stop whining. God brought them to that place. God took them out of Egypt and he brought them right up to the shores of the Red Sea. God brought them there. And that was a big problem. I can't go this way. I can't go that way. I'm going to die. And Moses, the man of God who God had called out because he was faithful, had learned a whole lot of patience on the backside of that desert. And he said, stand still. Stand still and see. You will see, but you're going to have to wait. Patience. And all night long, God parted the waters. God parted the waters. And they crossed on dry ground. Now, Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Go ahead and look at it. Isaiah 40:31. When we got time, right? It's Sunday night. Who cares about this stupid bowl? Amen? y'all didn't say amen there. Okay, I know you're all recording it. That's okay. You watch it later. The fact is, Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, that doesn't mean that I just don't do anything. I stop going to church. I stop praying. I stop soul winning. It means I keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll just wait on God to get me through. Isaiah 40:31. Y'all there? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we would say, well, but how do I get, I would love to soar like an eagle in this Christian life. I would love to get to the place where I can run and not be weary. I would love to get to the place where I can just keep walking and never faint. Well, that's exactly what this verse promises us if we'll wait. If we'll be faithful. wait on God. I keep doing what I know is right. I keep going what I know is where I'm supposed to go. I keep praying. I keep reading. I keep testifying. I keep witnessing. I keep tithing. I keep and I just wait. There's a whole lot of strength and wisdom, according to this verse, in just waiting. Many times, waiting on God is nothing more than just getting alone with God in prayer. Prayer. I'm telling you, that whole day, that from Friday night at 10 o'clock, I went home a millionaire from the game night. And then from Friday night at 10 o'clock till Saturday night at 10 o'clock, I prayed, I think it was about 5 hours total. But the whole 24 hours, there was just a different spirit. I knew somebody was praying. And I'd call it whatever it was, but it was the Holy Spirit of God. And because people were just waiting on God, praying. You can't do anything else when you're just praying. You're just alone with God, wrestling with God, waiting on God, praying, and that is where you gain strength that you can never gain anywhere else. Oh, if God's people would learn to pray. I love to have that 24-hour prayer chain, but hopefully it just challenged you to pray more yourself. Amen. It did me. I mean, after all, think about this. When you go to a new town that you've never been to and go see the sights, I mean, do you drive through the town at 65? Or do you stop, get out, and walk around slowly and look? See the sights. Take in the sights. Look at the roses. Go see the scenery. Check it out. You have to slow down. You have to just be patient. God is working. God is always working. Always working. But you have to be patient. Wait. Especially those of you who haven't been saved very long or haven't been in church very long. Slow down and wait on God. Let God do it His way, in His timing, in His speed. When I went home to Virginia for the funeral, I stopped over in Chicago. And yes, I know that is nowhere near Virginia. That is not between Virginia and Texas, but for some reason, I got one of those discount flights, you know, so they took me to the other side of the world, and then they brought me over to Virginia. Well, I went to Chicago. And so, but I can't really tell you anything about Chicago from that, because all I did was go to the airport for about an hour and jump on another plane. I just blew through, literally. I just blew through. So I can't tell you, well, you know, in Chicago there's this and then there's this. Well, you should have seen that. And there was this. I don't know. I just blew through. And when you have a problem, you're just trying to blow through it to get past it. But just wait. Wait on God. And find God in that problem. Find God, what He's doing, what He's trying. Get alone with God and patiently wait. Take in some sights. Amen. Take in some sights. Find out what other Christians learned in their problems. Take in some sights. Patiently. Well, this reading my Bible doesn't change my problem. I know that. Well, what's your rush? Slow down, and maybe God's trying to teach you something. Amen. Matter of fact, I know He is. Amen. Don't rush and run and lose your mind and get all in a hurry. Bible reading, prayer time, be methodical on purpose. I'm not rushing around. It's not just something I got to do, then go. I'm coming before God, and I'm taking in some sights. I'm waiting on God in prayer to renew my strength. Now go back to Romans chapter 5. The ladder to the love of God is it's where God wants us to be. Filled with His love, filled with His Spirit, not ashamed of His Son. The first thing is the problems that come. They're a blessing. They're given to us from God. The second thing that God gives us in this is patience. Patience in those problems. I've said it before, and I really like it. It's not mine. I think it was Brother Jeff Fugit that said it. I don't know where he got it, but the road to success and failure is the same road. Okay, it's the same road. However, listen, success is just a little bit past failure. See, most people, maybe I could put it this way. The road to problems and carefree life is the same road. The carefree life, the victory in Jesus, amen, victory in Jesus is just a little bit past my problems. A little bit past as I patiently wait and just keep going down the same road that God has put me on, then I see the victory. Then the third thing that is that on this ladder, I have problems, but I patiently, faithfully wait them out with God. By the way, anything He tells me to do, I do it. Patiently waiting doesn't mean that I just continue to disobey Him every time He brings something to my attention. Well, I'm just going to wait on God. What are you waiting on? Why don't you obey Him while you're waiting? And you might just be able to get out of that problem while you obey Him. Obviously, He's trying to do something in your life. So obey Him. Obey Him. Amen.
Amen.
And then let him. He might just move you to the next step. And the next step is personal experience. Personal. It says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience, what? Experience. Verse 4. Personal experience in life cannot be denied. Again, you have experiences in your life that I don't have. And I have them in my life that you don't have. I've gone through things that you haven't gone through. You've gone through things that I haven't gone through. And you can sit down and we can exchange stories. Your personal experiences, I can't deny that. That's something that happened to you. That's part of you. That's part of your life. You can't deny mine. That's part of me. That's my life. That's happened to me personally. Have you ever noticed how nowadays, whenever you look at anything that people are trying to sell, they have testimonies. Or what do they call them? Reviews. Reviews. Other customers review this, or they have personal testimonies. And why is that? Because it's a personal experience that you can't deny. See, you could just read about this product. Here's this product, it's really good, but you think, well, that's just the manufacturer trying to sell me something. But then you hear somebody else say, sit still. Okay, sit back and sit still. You hear somebody else say, well, you know what, I tried that, I've used that, and it worked great. What does that do? It's like, oh, see, it builds a case for that product. And then you hear somebody else say, oh, yeah, I tried that, and boy, I feel tons better. It worked. Well, all of a sudden, I start to believe this a little bit more. Because I'm hearing personal testimonies in favor of that product, whatever it may be. Or that service, or whatever I'm considering buying. Well, when you are in this Christian life, in this race, and you go through problems, and then by patience you wait on God and stay faithful, do what He says, keep waiting, then you're going to end up with your own personal experiences. Your own stories. I mean, you're going to be able to tell somebody else now when they get saved, hey, you know what? I remember when I first got saved. I remember that coming to first, boy, and you're a little bit nervous. But here's, guess what? God has changed me. God has given me this. God has changed this. God has made that happen. And you have your own stories. Personal experiences can't be denied. You can argue with God all day long, but you can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a changed life. It's undeniable. This person used to be a wicked old filthy drunk, and now he's standing in the pulpit preaching the gospel. You can't argue with that.
Amen.
How did he get there? He came through problems with patience, and now he has personal experience that God really is who He says He is.
Amen.
That faith really does work. that I can be patient, I can wait, I can get to the other side, and I can have personal experiences. And listen, the personal experience that God gives you is an effective tool to help you remember yourself when you come to your next problem. I wish I could tell you you're only going to have to climb this ladder once, but that's not true. You come to your next problem. You're going to be able to focus back and remember how God brought you through the last one. And you'll be stronger. I mean, I don't have time, but the Bible is chock full. It's full of personal experience. I mean, you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and you got Abel offering up that sacrifice, and God honored him. And God says, he's dead, yes, but he still speaketh today. And then the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was raptured himself. Noah moved with fear, prepared the ark. Abraham and Sarah gave birth to Isaac at 100 years old. Jacob wrestled with God all night. I hope you remember that message. Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And all of those are personal experiences that God is sharing with us in the Bible to help us see that we're not alone in this, that other people have gone through this, that God brought them through it, and he just wants to give you some of your own stories. Some of your own personal experiences. My stories are very deeply ingrained in my heart, and I'm convinced that God is real. But you know, you need your own. I can tell you mine all day long, and that's what I do. I preach, I give you illustrations, I disciple Brother Marty and I and others that I've discipled, and I tell you stories about what God's done, but that's my personal experiences. Why? Because I came through problems, I was patient, I waited on God, and now I'm on the other side and I see it's real. Amen. You can have your own personal experiences. There's so many people, though, who never experience the reality of this life of faith. They just don't ever come to this personal experience step in the ladder because they won't wait. They won't do what God says. They won't be faithful. So they don't ever have these persons. And these things are wonderful because these things keep reminding you. God is real. I've proved God and he's come through. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 to bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse, the church. And he says, and prove me. That I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you are not able to receive. God says, if you'll do that and prove me, I'll do it. I'll prove. And now, you know what? I can say that. I've been tithing now for years, and I can promise you, God has blessed me over and over and over again. I have personal experiences. I prove God, and I can tell you it works. Not just from the Bible, but from personal experience. But many, many Christians will never come to that place because they won't. I've just got too many money problems. No, your money problems is you won't obey God with your money.
Yes.
You'll never have anything but money problems for the rest of your life. And you'll stay on that problem step forever. Is that where you want to stay?
No.
You won't stay there very long. You'll get off of that step and go somewhere else. But your problem will still be there. God says, prove me.
Amen.
Prove all things. That's the theme this year, isn't it? Yes. Prove all things. Prove that you can trust God. Well, how can I prove it? Be patient. Do what he says. Stay in his will. And you'll get to where you have personal. You'll never believe. I just got money. God just sent me money. Somebody gave me money. I got a raise at work. I got an increase in this. Something happened here. And my bills went down. There's all kinds of personal experiences. And God's waiting to give you your own. But you won't if you don't trust him.
Right.
You'll never have them. Oh, I wish I could just preach on giving all night long. God is waiting to pour you out blessings that you have never seen. But you won't trust him with your money. You can trust him with your eternal soul, but you won't trust him with your money. Elijah came to a little widow in a little place called Zarephath. They were in the middle of a famine, a drought. It hadn't rained for nearly 3 years. So nothing grows when it doesn't rain. There's very little water. There's very little food. They were in a famine, a drought and a famine. The preacher came to this little widow. Widow means her husband's dead. She had one son that she was still trying to take care of. She had enough meal and oil to make them both a little sandwich, and that was it. That was all she had left. The preacher, by God's direction, came to her and said, "Fetch me a glass of water." And yes, he said, "Fetch. Fetch me a glass of water." And as she was going to fetch a glass of water in the middle of a drought is hard enough. As he was going to fetch her, he said, "Oh, by the way, bring me a piece of meat or some meal. Bring me a sandwich. Let's put it that way. Bring me a sandwich too while you're at it." She said, "Elijah, brother, sir, man of God, I can't do that. All I have is this meal and oil. I'm going to take this home and I'm going to feed my son and we're going to die." That's what she said. "We're just going to die. This is all I have left. There's nothing else in this town. There's nothing growing. We're in a drought. We're in a famine. We're going to die. I can't bring you something to eat." He said, "Bring me first. F-I-R, first. Bring me something to eat. And then your meal and your oil will never run dry." Now, she had a choice to make. She was in a big problem. And she had enough food for one meal, and her son was, and her, they were just going to lay down and die. She was in a, and then the preacher comes to her, the man of God, and says, "This is what I want you to do. This is what God has told you to do. Feed me first." Well, she had to make a decision. "I'm going to patiently do what I know is right, trust God, and patiently wait on Him. Or I'm just going to eat this one meal and die." Those were the only two choices she had. Two choices. She decided, okay, if that's what God says, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. She went and she fed the preacher. And then for the rest of that famine, the rest of that time, every day she woke up, guess what was in her bucket? More meal, more oil. Every day, guess what was in her barrel? More meal and more oil. Patiently waiting on God, doing what God says, trusting God, and then every single day there was some more meal. There was some. Now listen, there was a lot of other people in Zarephath. She wasn't the only member of that city. How many of the rest of them died? If she was going to eat this meal and die, then it stands to reason that there had to be other people in that same shape. I guarantee you, based on that story, that there were other people in that town who died. Famine kills people. People die in famine. But she came out of that famine. Listen now. With a story to tell. She came out of that big problem, patiently waiting on God, with a personal experience of her own. Let me tell you what God did for me. Yeah. However, this person over here, who did not have the same chance, or who did not take the same chance, they died. Same famine. Two very different outcomes. People, you're not the only person ever had money problems. You're not the only person ever had tight, where you can't pay your bills and there's no way I can give God first. And then God says, okay, don't. But I'm trying to give you your own personal experience where you can say, look what God did.
Amen. Yeah.
Or you could die. Or you could just get yourself in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper debt. To the point where you can't ever pay it. You're in bankruptcy. And you say, well, forget about this God stuff. God ain't taking care of me. Wait a minute. God told you what to do with your money. And God told you what He would do if you did that. And God's trying to give you some personal stories of your own. But if you won't patiently wait and do what he says and let him do it his way, you're never going to get to that point. Problems come as a gift. Patience is God's medicine to get you to the point where you have your own personal experiences. And when you get to that place, you that hope, verse 5, maketh not ashamed, you have your heart full of God's love because you've seen God work, you know God can, God has already done it for you more than once. And you are then at the top of the ladder, filled with God's Holy Spirit, knowing that I did not give up on God, knowing that I did not run out on God, knowing that I did not bellyache and whine, but I just patiently, faithfully did what God said, and now I have my own personal experience, and now I'm not ashamed of Christ because Jesus is the reason I'm still here. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Him. Amen. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I know Him. He's brought me through personally, my family, my wife, myself. We have personal stories we can tell. And now our hearts are filled with that Spirit, filled with that love, because we have the power that God has given us through those ladder steps that nobody likes to climb. Problems and patience. Oh, forget this Christian life stuff. You'll never have that story. What are you going to tell your children? Mommy, Daddy, why did we quit church? Or you could say, guess what, children? Guess what God has done for us? You're going to be very tight-lipped. You're not going to talk about faith and Christ and witness because you never got to the place where you saw God do something for you personally. And then you'll be filled with God's love. You'll be so thankful. You'll look at that problem and you'll realize, oh God, thank you for bringing me through that. Thank you, because now I'm stronger, now I'm higher, now I'm greater, now because my heart is full of His love. There's no greater power in this world than the power of God's love.
Amen. That's right.
There's no greater power in this world than the power of God's love. It was God's love that sent Jesus Christ. It was God's love that saved my soul. It was God's love that gave me heaven. It was God's love. It is God's love that continues to provide for my needs. But sometimes He just wants me to learn patience so I can have a stronger faith, so I can have my own stories, so I can help others trust Him. I mean, what kind of preacher would I be if I never trusted God myself? I tithe too. You cut me, I bleed just like you do. You cuss me, I hurt just like you do. You laugh at me, I get my feelings hurt just like you do. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just like you are. I'm no different. I just learned to be faithful. And that's all God wants us to do. Patiently do what we know is right. Get to the place where we have our own stories. And our hearts can be filled with the love of God. Where it's no longer just something out there. It's something personal. Personal. And I love God. I love God because He's taken care of me. And I know me. And I love God because He's taking care of me. And that same love is what I want other people to know. And I want you to know. And the world needs to see that love for God. Supreme love. Where it doesn't matter what problem comes my way. I'm going to stick it out. Because I've been there before and I know God's love. His love is real. You may not have any personal experiences. You may be on that first step. On the second step of patience, just stay there. Stay there and you will have some personal experiences. Be faithful. It's a benefit of faith. Remember, that's what we're talking about tonight. A heart full of love, love for God, the greatest power on this planet. But there's some steps that lead up to it. Be strong. We're not here to play, to dream, or to drift. We have hard work to do and heavy loads to lift. Don't shun the struggle. Face it. It's God's gift. Be strong. Say not the days are evil. Who's to blame? And fold the hands and acquiesce. Oh, shame. Stand up. Speak out and bravely say, in God's name, I will not quit. Be strong. It matters not how deeply entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, or how the day is long. Faint not. Fight on. Tomorrow comes the song. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. It's not without problems. Be patient. You'll have your personal experiences, and you'll experience the power of God's love. But you got to stay on the ladder. Take one step at a time. Okay? Father in heaven, I pray You bless Your word. I thank You, Lord, for this benefit of faith that most people don't see as a benefit. But Lord, help us to realize these problems, these trials, they are gifts from You to make us stronger, to renew our strength.